Romans 10, and I want to make a short announcement for our sermon schedule. Originally, I planned to go through Book of Romans, so starting missing chapter 16, but it's all about saying greetings to people, so missing chapter 16, but starting chapter 15. My theme was oneness in spirit, in Christ, in holiness. All those stuff going backward, it's chapter 15, 14, 13, and 12, 11. And somehow it's really difficult for me. I know that many of you are also struggling with the way I'm preaching, the way looking at the text. But I don't mean that bring you more confusion or difficultiness to look at the scripture. But I realize that over the weeks, even my vacation, I thought about my sermon schedule, and I decided to stop here in Romans 10 and 9. Today we'll be briefly looking at Romans 9 and 10. And another time, maybe next time, maybe I'll go back to Romans 1 and slowly going back to Romans up to 8. But today we'll be looking at Romans 10, but I'll be also bring a little bit of from Romans 9. And today will be our last time to look at the book of Romans. That's my eventually long announcement, but that's my sermon plan for our church. Romans 10 is a very interesting text. In 9, 10, 11, it's all about Paul's thoughts about his people, the Jews, and then he's talking about what he thinks about God's salvation. We already touched about Romans 11, so today is our second time about talking about God's salvation. Before reading our text, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Whenever we see, we read your word in private time or in publicly, we feel awe and we feel your grace. Sometimes we feel amazed by your love and your grace that you are revealing yourself from the scriptures. Lord, we are going to look at Romans 9 and 10 today within 20 and 25 minutes. It's not enough for us. That's why we need your help. Would you please bless us, even bless me, so that we can be in your grace at this very moment. We will be able to understand and digest your teaching through your servant Paul. And only our sermon moment this time, we want to focus our eyes on Jesus Christ and help us to fix our hearts on Christ. So help us, Lord. We pray all these things, your Son in Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans chapter 10 is found from our Pew Bibles, page number 1203. 1203. Brothers, my heart's desire and in prayer to God for them is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or, who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is the Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And then how are they to hear without someone preaching? And then how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I asked, have they not heard? Indeed they have. For their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I asked, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you zealous for those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. This is the word of God. Christians enjoy reading Paul's letters in the New Testament, especially his letter to the churches in Rome. Many theologians say that it is one of the greatest letters ever written. We agree with them. We appreciate Paul's theology of God's grace that we have found, and righteousness and salvation planned. And that Paul shares with the Roman Christians that we see from his writings. Now, we cannot think of any Christian theology without Paul. Now, Paul's understanding of God's promise in the Old Testament and his reinterpretation of God's salvation plan, his plan in the Old Testament, are surely the treasure that we have. Treasures for the Christians nowadays. Then our study on the book of Romans strengthens our faith every day. Now, Paul's gospel that we are looking at is a simple and straightforward. It's not complicated. That Jesus is the Lord and the Messiah for the Gentiles and for the Jews. Very simple. He says in Romans 1, 16 and 17, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. It is power. First for the Jew, then for Gentiles. Very easy to understand. In 17, for in that gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Precious verses that we just read, it's very easy to understand. While many Jews believed that God's promise are only for the Jews, now Paul does not hesitate to include the Gentiles into the kingdom of God, and then teaching them about God's grace and righteousness and salvation for everyone who believes in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul brings the power of the gospel that we have today and God's righteousness to the world of pagans. That's Paul's job. Now, his work was a provocative action to the Jews in the eyes of the Jews. They were not accepting Paul's teaching. Because of that reason, we know that many Jews disagreed with Paul's theology and his teaching. For them, Paul's theology was blasphemy against God. So not only they were simply rejecting Paul's teaching, but many of them also traveled from city to city after Paul, following him and disrupted his ministry and persecuted Paul and all his friends. now. Paul is about to visit Rome, the greatest city in the world at the time. Now, although Rome was known as a pagan city, there were already many home-based churches in Rome in the first century. That was really amazing. And the Jewish Christians were the part of the Roman churches at that time. Now, so many scholars believe that they didn't want Paul to come to Rome because they also misunderstood Paul's teaching, his theology of God's promises and mercy and grace. They probably heard many stories after stories about Paul's teaching and his theological debates with other Jews in many countries, in many other cities. So they think that Paul is coming, try to degrade their faith and their history and tradition. So they didn't want Paul to come. So not like other churches. We know that the churches in Rome were very independent at that time. So they didn't want Paul to bring any distractions and headache and conflict to the Roman Christians, even the Roman churches. So for Paul, it was really important. It was necessary for him to say something about what he believes, his faith in theology, before visiting to Rome. He needs to defend himself. And he has to show them that his theology never degrade or their tradition or their faith in history. Rather, his theology theology is encouraging both Jews and Gentiles to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here comes Romans 9 then. Now, here Paul talks about mainly two things in Romans 9. That first one is God's faithfulness, and the second one is a divine calling. Paul here clearly points out that God's faithfulness is not based on the quality of the Jews, but based on his mercy and pure grace. Because based on God's grace, God chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, including you and me. And then out of his grace, God established his holy covenants with his people. That's Paul's point in Romans 9. Now think about it. The same is true for you and me. And God called you and God chose us not because we are good people, but because of his sheer grace. As we are sinners, we know that no one can be saved by his or her work and effort. Paul says in Romans 3 and 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We know that we can do that by our work. This short verse from Romans 3, once again, like a pounding our hearts, like a hammer hitting a nail, pounding our hearts. It is not us. I am not qualified to receive God's grace. But God, out of his mercy and grace, he chose us before the creation. Based on the Romans 3 and 23, we can literally rejoice and yelling and jumping in the overflowing and abundance of God's grace in our life. That's my feeling reading Romans 9 and Romans 3. It's not me, but God's grace. Let's think about it. If salvation, it's God's grace is based on someone else's work, on deeds, there is no God's grace at all. And if there is no grace, no God's grace at all, eventually our faith in Christ, our faith in Jesus Christ is nothing. Maybe you can say that we don't have to believe in Jesus Christ if everything is depending on me and us. That's why in Romans 9, Paul brings a quotation from Exodus 33:19 tells us the power of God's grace alone. It says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and then I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It's everything is God's mercy and grace. It's such an overwhelming experience for us to know that God loves you and me, and He pours His grace upon us through the life of Jesus Christ. It's kind of overwhelming experience for us. So because of God's grace, our faith in Christ become more meaningful. Now, after talking about God's faithfulness and His divine calling, His grace, one more time, and Paul criticizes the Jews' mistake in Romans 9. That's a verse 30 and 31. He says, "The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it. That is, a righteousness that is by faith." Look at verse 31. "But that Israel who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching that law." To be honest with you, Paul makes the Jews feeling so horrible from these two verses. If you were a Jew living in that time, living in Rome at that time, you must have felt that, you know, discouraged and disgraced somehow by Paul's words in 9 and 30 and 31, if we live there. Although Paul's teaching here is right, now his teaching is too harsh or hard to understand for the Jews to have it. It seems that Paul's view on the Jews has been very negative in chapter 9 and 10 and 11. But yet his understanding of God's grace that we've been talking about today for Gentiles is too much generous somehow. So what's wrong with Paul here, verse 30 and 31? Is he really trying to buy the hearts of the Jews or not? Maybe you can ask that question. By reading his last sentence about Jews in Romans 9, it seems that Paul is kind of an enemy of the Jews. And then it looks like there is no way to recover his broken relationship with his own people. However, we have to realize that it is not Paul's intention in Romans 9 and 10 to discourage the Jews in breaking his relationship with his people. Rather, he wants to challenge them, help them to understand God's grace, and to help them to see their reality. In Romans 10, let's move up to Romans 10. Paul says, Romans 10 verse 1, "Hey, brothers," I'm not trying to discourage you, "brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." It reminds us of Paul's another confession in Romans 9. He says, Romans 9 and 2, "that I have great sorrow and an unceasing anguish in my heart." So we know Paul's heart for his people. Then we wonder, what does Paul exactly want us to talk about it here, Romans 9 and 10, about his people, the Jews? Is he really trying to talk about the future of the Israelites or not? Will God save the Israelites? Will God show His grace to His people or not? Actually, the answers are found in Romans 10 in our chapter today. So I personally consider that Romans chapter 10 is not about discouraging His people, but Romans chapter 10 is the gospel chapter for the Jews. As Paul says in Romans 9, it is true that his heart is broken for his own people. But it's not enough. Breaking his heart is not enough because he cannot save them all. So what they need is the gospel. So Paul decided to share the gospel with his own people in Romans chapter 9. First of all, Paul declares that Jesus fulfills the promise of the law in the Old Testament in Romans chapter 9. And verse 4, he says, "For Christ is the end of the law." and for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, in this verse, we see that an interesting expression, the end of the law for righteousness. Let's look at the word righteousness. Now, Paul's theology, Jesus himself equals righteousness, no one else. Jesus is truly righteous, and because he's God, and we also become righteous before God based on our faith in Christ. So many years, the Jews have been and tried their best to get the title of righteousness before God. And that's why they become legalistic, depending on the teaching of the law, and their hearts were always burning for God's law to be righteous. And then as Paul says, I can't testify about it. They have a zeal for God. I understand that you have that one. As a Pharisee, Paul himself had a zeal for God. He understood that. Because of that reason, because of his passion and zeal, he tried to persecute Christians in the first century. We know that. Now, Paul used to believe that he also could get the title righteousness by keeping all the teaching of the law. That is past. But he found that was wrong. No one can be righteous before God except God makes us righteous. So in order to make us be righteous before God, God made a way. God made a way for people. God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, the true righteousness from God. That is God's salvation plan. But unfortunately, the Jews did not recognize him at all. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Paul is talking about their mistake. When the true righteousness, Jesus Christ, came to the world, many Israelites simply ignored him. The Israelites were ignorant that God's saving righteousness was a gift of God's grace. And then instead of trusting God in Christ for their righteousness, they sought to establish their own righteousness. They tried to secure their righteousness by observing the law, which is Torah. Here Paul says, they have a zeal for God, but their zeal and passion burning God wrong. All their burning passion is simply wrong because they make their own ways of becoming righteous before God, not the way that God designs for them to be righteous. Now here in chapter 10 and chapter 9, Paul tries to point out that the Israelites are arrogant and very selfish about that part, because they were seeking their own ways. Now, by reading Paul's stories here, not only the Israelites, but we also see that, even including me and sometimes you, and there are many people who are seeking their own ways of becoming righteous, or sometimes try to be saved by their action or work. Surely, sometimes we are surprised by many other Christians who are trying to make their own ways to become righteous before God, such as making rules and principles to be saved. That we don't have to criticize them, but we see many people out there making rules and principles to be saved. Simply, they forget who saves whom. It's not us to save ourselves, but God is the one who saves us. Jesus Christ is the one that we can trust and believe. Not only the Israelites were arrogant and selfish, but also we are sometimes arrogant and selfish. If we ignore the true righteousness, which is Jesus Christ and His work on a cross, we are arrogant and selfish. If we doubt His work on the cross, if we doubt His grace upon us, basically, we are saying we're like the Israelites. We're arrogant and we can be selfish. As a Jew, Paul's heart was completely broken for his own people when he think about their situation. Because they did not recognize the true righteousness from God. Rather, they were depending on the teaching of the law. Then he says to them in our text, "Hey, brothers, you know what? Christ is the end of the law. Are you looking for more laws and teachings? Listen, Christ is the end of the law." I really like what Paul says to his own people. It's very clear and very strong statement. Paul is saying like this. We can imagine that. "Hey, brothers, Jesus Christ, He fulfills the teaching of the law and He is the Messiah." What are you looking for something? He is the Messiah. That means we don't need anything. That means the end. The end. It's end. Here in our text, we see an interesting word, end. Now, many scholars have discussed with these words to find out the meaning of the word end. Now, some scholars understand that this word means goal. And this is our target and goal. And they understood that Jesus is the goal of the law. So, saying that, hey, this is your goal and the goal of righteousness. And some other scholars understand that the word end means fulfillment. Jesus Christ fulfills the requirement of the law. Personally, I like these two views. To become righteous before God, there's nothing we can do. We don't need anything but only Jesus Christ. Therefore, the true righteousness, Jesus Christ, is our goal. And then at the same time, we understand, we believe that He fulfills the requirement of the law. He is truly the end of the law. What the Israelites needed was not the law, but Jesus Christ. The true righteousness, that's Paul's intention in chapter 10. That's Paul's gospel for the Jews. And he's inviting his own people to believe that He is the Messiah. And he goes further in chapter 10. He invites the Jews to confess their faith in chapter 10, verse 9. He says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." Probably many Jews in Rome understood what Paul tried to say. Probably, many Jews at the time, they knew about Jesus Christ. They heard about Jesus Christ. But knowing Him, knowing about Jesus is not enough. Now here Paul is asking them and his own people publicly confess their faith. There's no shame. There's no shame to be God's people. There's no shame to say that I believe in Jesus Christ. There's no shame to say that Jesus is my Lord. And Paul adds one more sentence here later. "For the scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame." And verse 12, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. That means for everyone. For the same Lord is the Lord of all. That Jesus Christ is our Lord as well. Bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we see that Paul is not trying to teach them, but trying to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to his own people in Romans chapter 10. Now, we know one thing. Living in the 21st century, especially in the United States, I personally came to the United States because I believe that this is a Christian country. But recently, by looking at all the things happening in our state and in our country, I see that, wow, really? But we're not going to give it up. We know that it's not easy to bring the message of God, message of Jesus Christ to the world, especially not even mission world. I know that the Koreans in Nepal, they are struggling, but they are doing a great job. But even think about all the people in the United States. We're living in a pagan country nowadays. It's not easy for you and me to actually sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It will be a good and a very difficult challenge for everyone. People in here, people in everywhere will not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we will say God loves you, if we will try to say about Jesus Christ, they will close their ears. They will not try to listen. But here Paul says one more time in verse 17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. People in the world, they are going their own ways. We see these things happening in the United States, looking for their own righteousness, like the Israelites. But from Romans 9 and 10, we see something. As Paul boldly brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to his own people who are ignorant, and he invites you and me to do the same thing. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now, I believe that this is our job. People here, they need to hear about Jesus Christ. And we needed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people around us, even in the United States. The message of God's salvation, the message of the forgiveness of sins, the message of God's love and grace, our responsibility to bring out. It's our job to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Surely Paul did his job to bring the gospel to his own people. Now it's our challenge to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to our own people, our own nation, even to our family. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Paul's burning desire to bring the message of Jesus Christ to his own people who totally misunderstood the meaning of God's grace and God's salvation, God's righteousness. And Heavenly Father, we are very thankful that we understand there's nothing but only Jesus Christ. But Lord, we see that there are many people out there
even our nation. And now everybody is going their own way. Now Paul's message is preaching to us. This is our responsibility. Bring the message of Jesus Christ. Let them to hear the message of gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, would you encourage us? Would you equip us with your words so that we'll follow your way. We will share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray your Son in Jesus' name.